The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 7th Canto, Chapter Number 5, Texts Number 25 and 26, given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Dasathikari. Recorded on June 25th, 2010, in Auckland, New Zealand.
So today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 7th canto, 5th chapter, Prahlad, the saintly son of Hiranyakashipu. Texts number 25 and 26, we'll read 25 responsively. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Nisham Yai Tatsuta Vacho. Nisham Yai Tatsuta Vacho. Hiranyakashipushtada. Guru Putram Muvachedam Rusha Pashpuritadara Nisham Yai Tatsuta Vacho Hiranyakashipustada Guru Putram Muvachedam Rusha Pushpuritadhara. Translation. After hearing these words of devotional service from the mouth of his son Prahlad, Hiranyakashipu was extremely angry. His lips trembling, he spoke as follows to Shunda, the son of his guru, Shukracharya. Brahmabhando, Kim etate vipaksham shatata sata sarangrahito balo mam anadritya durmate. O unqualified, most heinous son of a Brahmin, you have disobeyed my order and taken shelter of the party of my enemies. You have taught this poor boy about devotional service. What is this nonsense? Purport. In this verse, the word asaram, meaning having no substance, is significant. For a demon, there is no substance in the process of devotional service. But to a devotee, devotional service is the only essential factor in life. Since Hiranyakashipu did not like devotional service, the essence of life, he chastised Prahlad Maharaj's teachers with harsh words. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Pada Kamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupa Sagrajata Sahagana Raghunathan Vidantam Sajiva Sadaita Zabaduta Vrijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Deva Shri Radha Krishna Pada Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha. So, they say that Krishna consciousness is a sarvam. They say it is nonsense. You Hare Krishna people, you were brainwashed by some cult leader. Don't you know there's no such thing as God? This religion is simply foolish sentimentalism. This is the attitude of Aranyakashipu. And this is the attitude we find in the modern day Aranyakashipu society. Of course, they are not big Aranyakashipus. They are teeny-weeny Aranyakashipus. But they are Aranyakashipus nonetheless. Because just as he is condemning Krishna consciousness, what is Prahlad just given? He's given the most wonderful instruction, the Navavidha Bhakti verses he has given. So wonderful verses. Describing this process of devotional service. And what is the reaction? Simply anger. Just see what a rascal fellow is this Aranyakashipu. He was extreme, so angry, his lips were trembling. He was so angry. And he's simply describing this as nonsense. What is this nonsense you have taught my poor son, you see, asaram, no saptams. So here we have two perspectives. The demon says it's simply nonsense. And for the devotee, it's the only essential factor in life. That's an interesting statement. The only essential factor in life demands you can subtract anything and everything else. Everything else can be subtracted. But as long as you don't take away devotional service, you see, the devotee is okay. You can take everything away. You can take away his money, take away his health, take away his reputation. You can take everything away from a devotee, but as long as he has devotional service, he's okay. Okay. Only essential factor in life. Everything else is actually non-essential, except for devotional service. Of course, we exhaust so many things. If they facilitate our being engaged in devotional service, we accept so many things. A place of residence, for some, a wife or a husband, in money, so many things we may accept that facilitate our devotional service. But we're not taking them for their own sake. This we must always understand. We're not accepting them for their own sake. We are accepting them only for the sake of facilitating our being absorbed in devotional service. Otherwise, they have no interest for the Vaishnava. None whatsoever. Of course, this reminds us of that wonderful essay of Prabhupada, you know. Who is crazy? They say that we are nonsense and we say that they are nonsense. So who's actually nonsense? We have to study and see. Because this Krishna consciousness movement is not for blind fools who are walking around in a fog all day long. No. This is meant, in fact, the Bhagavatam is sometimes called Paramahamsa Samhita. Prabhupada explains like this. It is called the Paramahamsa Samhita. And he defines that as the treatise for the most intellectually advanced class of men, you see. So this is the epitome of intellectualism, actually. To understand Bhagavad philosophy and to practice it fully, because if it remains only intellectual, only theoretical, and it is not realized by practice, it remains incomplete. And after some time, it becomes dry. We have seen this. There was one boy from Sri Lanka. He came to our center in Austin, and he bought a set of Bhagavatams, and he was in complete bliss, reading. He would always come and tell us about what canto he was on, what he was reading. He was so excited and so enlivened. He said, "Why don't you chant japa?" I said, No. I want to chant. I just want to read. I don't want to chant japa." Well, you know what? He lost his steam about halfway through the Bhagavatam. Finished. Prabhupada had told me the same thing. He wrote me a letter from Paris advising me this very same point. He said that study without practice after some time becomes dry and useless. So to actually put this science into practice is most essential. I mean, can you be a qualified chemist if all you do is study the formulas, you don't actually go to the laboratory? Is that possible? You think you can become an expert qualified in the science of chemistry if you don't go to the laboratory and actually do the experiments in the test tubes? Is it possible? As I've many times pointed out, I had that experience in high school, really. We heard in the classroom that H2O equals water. We went to the laboratory and we followed the instructions. And sure enough, we took, each one of us kids put two parts of hydrogen and one part of oxygen into that test tube. And lo and behold, what appeared in that test tube? Water. Wow, it's real, you see. So, Krishna consciousness is science. It is applied science, just as the science of chemistry is applied science, you see. If it's not applied, it remains theoretical. If it remains theoretical without application, then it's simply gyan minus vigyan, and it's incomplete, you see. It may be very attractive in the beginning, but in due course of time, if you simply have gyan without the vigyan, then it'll be, after a while, it'll become dry and useless. Who cares for this? I'm not getting any rest. So we actually want to dive into that ocean of unlimited rest, you see. To get beyond the theoretical platform. Then we have to apply the science. We have to take the hydrogen and oxygen and mix them in the test tube. We have to, in other words, we have to take the test tube of our consciousness. And we have to put in the ingredients according to the laboratory manual, Bhagavad Gita. We have to put the ingredients in the test tube of the consciousness. Follow carefully the manual. And the result will be, we'll see Krishna in due course. We will see Krishna. Yamang paschati sarvata sarang shamai paschati chashahangna pranashami satchamena pranashyati. We studied this last night at the Namahat program. Very nice program we had last night. So many wonderful souls came together at Nanda Raj's home, Nanda Raj Prabhu's home. And we studied this verse, 630 Bhagavad Gita. From one who sees me everywhere and sees everything in me, I am never lost, nor is he ever lost to me. So this is something real. This is something practical. You can actually see Krishna. And as I described last night, when Nanda Vraj Prabhu asked the question, actually we're already seeing Krishna. But right now we're getting a blurred version. It's like if you take off your glasses, Prabhu, you won't see things the same. You see, there'll be a blur out there. You probably still see me, but it'll be a different Sankarshan Das, a blurred Sankarshan Das, should be seen. You see? So right now, we're actually seeing Krishna. We're seeing a blurred version. It's called the material energy. But if we purify our vision, you see, premanjana charita bhakti valochanena santaksadaiva hridayeshu valokayanti yang shama shunyaram chintya guna swarupam govindam adipurusham tamaham bhajami. If we will apply this premanjana to our eyes from the master pharmacist, Prabhupada simply, he closed down one pharmacy and he opened another one, you see. He closed down his Prayag pharmacy and he opened up the ISKCON pharmacy. He gave up all the other drugs and now he simply has one drug he's dispensing from his ISKCON pharmacy, and that's Premanjana, the ointment of love of God, you see. The master pharmacist is Divine Grace A.C. Bhakti Vedanta Nandi Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada. He is giving us this Premanjana, which is applied through the ears by hearing regularly the Hare Krishna mantra and the Bhagavat Katha, regularly taking into the heart deeply, deeply, deeply on a regular daily basis. Actually, Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya, 24 hours a day, serving, hearing Bhagavat philosophy, chanting Hare Krishna, and serving the spiritual master. You see? If we can do this 24/7, then very quickly we'll become completely, all that blurriness will be gone and we'll see Krishna. So it takes some time, of course, because we've been conditioned for millions and millions of lifetimes into thinking, what? Aham bhogi, I am the enjoyer, you see. My happiness is to gratify my senses. We've been thinking that way for millions and millions of births, that my happiness is to take these indriyas and the objects of the indriyas and combine them, you see. The tongue, the genitals, the belly, the false ego, all of these things we've been trying to gratify. That's been our conception of happiness for millions and millions of births, wandering in this Brahmanda, up and down, around and around, the matso merry go round. But if we will faithfully take up this pathway of Krishna bhakti under the guidance of the bona fide spiritual master, then the magic will happen. That incredible supernatural awakening of Krishna consciousness will take place. The blurriness will start to go away and things will start to become focused, you see. Things will gradually, gradually start to come into focus and we'll actually realize that Krishna is present. We'll see Krishna. But you have to have faith in the process. If you can't think, well, I've been chanting Hare Krishna for 5 years and I haven't seen Krishna yet, I give it up because it's not working. You have to have faith in the process. We have to have faith in Srila Prabhupada. We have to have faith in the great Mahajanas that they are not cheating us. We have to have faith. Mahajana yena gatastapanta means we must faithfully follow that pathway of the great acharyas. We have to be patient. Prabhupada gives the example of a lady who gets married and she is, can she chastise her husband and the morning they're married and the next morning she says, where's my baby? No. She has to be patient. She knows I'm a married woman, sooner or later I will have a child, I must be patient. I want a child, but I have to wait. So in this way, Prabhupada gives example for Krishna consciousness. If you have taken sincerely this pathway of Krishna consciousness, it is sure and certain you will achieve Krishna prema, there's no doubt. But it takes time. Some, we see in some marriages, they have a baby immediately. For some, it takes many years, you see. They try, but they can't have a baby immediately for some reason. So, some people advance very quickly because in previous lifetimes, they were already advanced. For some of us, we may not be so advanced from previous births, you see. We may have to go through a lot much longer, more intense struggle to become Krishna conscious and other devotees, but we shouldn't let that discourage us. We should simply know that Krishna has made the perfect arrangement for me now to become his pure devotee. Perfect arrangement he has made for me. Customized program. Krishna gives a customized program to every single devotee. It's not a cookie cutter. The science of self-realization is not a cookie cutter system. Everybody goes through exactly the same experiences. We all have our own karma. We have our own consciousness, and there's a unique, specialized, customized, tailor-fitted program made by Krishna for each and every one of us to become his pure devotee. So we have to have faith that Krishna is giving us his mercy at every minute. We have to have faith that Krishna is not in any way letting us down in any time, place, or situation. He's perfectly giving us exactly what we need at that moment to come to him. So in this way, if we have that conviction and we act in terms of that conviction, then our progress will be very, very steady progress. Even if it's slow, that's all right. See. Who won the race? The tortoise or the hare? You know that story. The hare and the tortoise? Who won the race? Everyone knows that story. In India, they know that story. The hare and the tortoise? I think it's from the Vedas, actually. But there was a hare, which is a rabbit, and the tortoise, which is a turtle. You know, the rabbit is zoom, and the tortoise, you know, they don't walk exactly, they don't travel exactly the same pace. So there was a race between the hare and the tortoise, and the hare was, you know, pretty proud about his, you know, his hot rod body that could zoom along. And so he hot rodded a while and he said, I'm going to lay down and take a little nap here before we go to the finish line. And but that old tortoise is plodding along. Steady plodding, you see. And he just plodded right by that sleeping hare and he crossed the finish line. The last minute the hare woke up, oh no, he's going to defeat me. And he tried to zoom up there, but it was too late. The tortoise beat him to the finish line, you see. So even though we may not be hares, of course we are supposed to be Hare's, but Hare Krishna's, but even though we're not hares, we may not be hares, we may be tortoises, it's all right. Even if I'm just a tortoise, you know, somehow I should just keep plodding along every day, chant those rounds, get up in the morning, take my bath, put on my tilak, my devotional clothing, do my service. Every day, faithfully engaged, you see. Don't give in to the material energy and indulge my senses in nonsense. You see, that's the key. Because if I flip back and do sense gratification, what am I doing? I'm lighting a fire here and I'm pouring water on it. I'm reversing the process. So the idea is be strict, you know. Say, okay, sense gratification is out. It's not cool. I'm not going to do it anymore. It's out. I remember we were cultivating one couple in Chicago, and they were having a hard time. It wasn't the husband, it was the wife. They had meat in the refrigerator. So I was wondering, well, how can we give up this meat eating, you know? So we said, I said, go right now to your refrigerator, grab all the meat, and just throw it in the garbage. Finish it immediately. And they did that. And they were so happy and they were so enlivened. Instead of thinking, well, how can we give up meat? So just go do it immediately. Go to the refrigerator, yank it all out, go in the freezer, every little bit of meat and eggs and fish, just get it all and put it in the garbage and finish it in 1 second, you see. And they did it. So we just do that. We have faith in the words of the spiritual master. We just do that and finish it. Then it's not difficult. It's like the example I many times give of the Band-Aid. Do they call them Band-Aids in New Zealand? In America, they're called Band-Aids. Yeah. So there's two ways to pull off a Band-Aid. One hair at a time, you know. Or, zip, one pull, finished. So sometimes we have to admit, one hair at a time. Because they just think it would be too painful to pull it off in one. But actually, it's much more painful to go one hair at a time, you know. It's so much easier to go, shoop, finish. You hardly even feel it. So in Krishna consciousness, sometimes we want to do the hair, you know, we want to do one hair at a time, that kind of a surrender. But, you know, just unnecessarily torturing ourselves, actually, by doing that. Unnecessarily torturing. Just finish. All right. Now I'm just going to be pure in my practice now. From now on, no more nonsense. I'm just going to do what Prabhupada wants. That my every thought, my every word, my every deed in all times, places, and circumstances should be pleasing to Srila Prabhupada. That's all. Pleasing to my spiritual master and to Srila Prabhupada. You see? We just make that determination. Okay, Prabhupada, Guru Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada, Lord Chaitanya, Lord Krishna, please bless me that henceforth I can be completely pure in all of my thoughts, words, and deeds in all time, places, and circumstances. All we have to do is pray that way and mean it. And granted, we'll slip again and again because we're neophytes, struggling neophytes. But if you say, okay, I slip, but again, I'm begging you, please let me be always pure with my every thought, every word, every deed in all times, places, and circumstances, you see. No matter how many times you slip, if you again take out that determination, again beg for pure bhakti, as we had in my last visit here in the summer, the pure devotional service seminars. If we just beg for that pure bhakti, you see, even though we're slipping from it, just keep begging for it. If we beg, if we bug Krishna enough with our prayers for pure bhakti, we say, okay, now I'll give it to you. You've been bothering me enough begging for pure bhakti. Of course, it's not a botheration. He loves it when we beg for pure bhakti. But if we keep asking Krishna, petitioning for pure devotional service, finally you'll say, yes, I see now you're fully serious. Now you can have pure bhakti, you see. You know, he doesn't easily give that pure bhakti. You know why? Because he becomes the subordinate servant of that devotee who has pure bhakti. He becomes the personal property of that devotee who has pure bhakti. So he's not going to put himself in the hands of some incompetent karma mishra bhakta who can't decide whether he wants to be a devotee or not. He's not going to put himself in the hands of such a person. He's only going to put himself in the hands of that person who is totally, 100%, completely sold out to him. And then Krishna will say, okay, you've presented yourself fully, surrendered yourself fully as my property. Now I will give myself to you and I will become your property also. This is why we require the pure devotee, because the pure devotee possesses Krishna and he can give us Krishna, you see. You cannot get Krishna by mystic power, by jnana. Only by bhakti can we get Krishna. And only through the bhakta can we get Krishna. Because as Krishna explains in the Yadi Pradhana, ye me bhakta jana parta, na me bhakta shtate janaha, mad bhaktanam cha ye bhaktas, te me bhakta tamamata. My dear son of Prita Arjuna, the one who is my devotee, he is not my devotee, but the devotee of my devotee, he is my devotee. So if we want to become the devotee of Krishna, we have to find that devotee that we can fully devote ourselves to. That is our spiritual master. We must find that devotee that I can fully give myself to, that devotee. And then when Krishna sees that we have done that, then he gives himself to us. You see? So this principle of guru is absolutely essential. Tadva, what is that? Tadvaganartam sa evam, tadvaganartam sa gurum eva bigat chet. Compulsory. It's absolutely compulsory principle. Mundaka Upanishad. It's explaining like that. So anyway, we have a few minutes left here. Does anybody have questions? All the questions answered. Question. You've written it down. Oh, very good. This question is from the previous purport. Please turn over. Okay. It says, way down on page 259... one should first worship Vaikuntha personality like Ganesh. Who is that elephant-headed person? Is the Supreme Lord of an elephant form in the human body? Is the demigod Ganesh a manifestation of the Supreme, or is he from Vaikuntha? Okay, let's look on page 259. All right, way down. One should first worship. Okay. One of the items of bhakti, or the following offenses are listed: to offer worship to the deity without worshiping Vaikuntha deities like Ganesh. So is Ganesh a Vaikuntha personality? Obviously there is a Vaikuntha Ganesh. And who is the elephant-headed person, the Ganesh that we normally hear about, read about? And what is his relationship with the Vaikuntha Ganesh? Are they the same person? I'm not an expert on this. I could research it, but I'm not an expert. Sometimes I've heard that there are two. There's the Vaikuntha and the material world version of some of these demigods. But obviously there is a Vaikuntha Ganesh mentioned here. So the question is, are we engaged in offense because we worship the deity without worshiping Ganesh? One could ask that question. But note here, it says like Ganesh. It doesn't say you have to worship Ganesh. It says you have to worship Vaikuntha deities like Ganesh. Now these are, if it wasn't for Prabhupada having come here and actually having shown us how to practice Krishna consciousness, it would be bewildering to understand a lot of these things, to be quite honest. But we see how Srila Prabhupada actually engages us in worshiping Krishna in the temples. And he would come to our temple, he would see how it was going on, he'd be pleased with it. So we know, and actually other places he told us not to worship Ganesh. There was one devotee who wanted to worship Ganesh. On his own. Not in the temple, just his own. He wanted. So Prabhupada said something like, if you can give me $100,000 a month. He was thinking by worshiping Ganesh he would get money. That was his motivation. He was thinking, well, we can use it in Krishna's service. And Prabhupada said, well, if you can give me $100,000 a month, you can go ahead and worship Ganesh. It's okay. Some big, huge sum of money. Of course, he never, that ended it right there. So I'm not expert to answer this question fully to your satisfaction, I don't think. But we can discuss some of the issues related to it, at least. I'd have to do research to see if the demigod Ganesh is a Vaikuntha deity. Now, to say a Vaikuntha deity or a manifestation of the Supreme, in other words, of course, now wait a minute, a manifestation of the Supreme can refer to anything. Even Jiva souls are manifestations of the Supreme in one sense. Because there's integrated expansions and separated expansions. Or you can say integrated manifestations and separated manifestations. So the demigod Ganesh is certainly a manifestation of the Supreme because you are too, and we all are. But what sort of manifestation, that's the question. Is he this Vaikuntha deity? Does Vaikuntha deity means a Vishnu form in the spiritual world like on the Vaikuntha planet? This is an interesting question. It'd be very interesting to research this. I just don't have the background, the information and study to answer it fully. But it's a very interesting question you've had. So I appreciate the question. Do you know any information on this? There's a Vaikuntha Ganesh?
I don't have information, but this is according to the Varnashram Dharma to Jadwadi Kama. To worship Ganesh and then... Mm-hmm.
Well, Ganesh is known for removing impediments. So sometimes his worship is mentioned in nectar devotion. But because Prabhupada didn't establish it and he told us not to do it, we understand what our duty is.
Krishna also says in Bhagavad Gita, there is no need to worship.
Yeah. No, this deity worship, sometimes they want to introduce other deities. People in India especially who are used to worshiping these different demigods, they want to know why we're not doing it. And the simple answer is we're following our founder Acharya because we know that he's on the highest possible level of self-realization. And the system he has given us is the most effective, expeditious, practical system that we can also quickly come to the highest level of spiritual realization. So we just have full faith that Srila Prabhupada knows exactly what he's doing, and he does. And so that's why we don't worship Ganesh. We don't need to. By worshiping, it's also stated in the scripture, the spiritual master is the sum total of all the demigods. So when you worship, we do Guru Puja, you're worshiping 33 million demigods every morning. You can say, yeah, I worship Ganesh every morning at Guru Puja. I worship Durga, Indra, Shiva. I'm worshiping every day when I offer puja to my spiritual master. I'm offering puja to 33 million demigods, automatically included. So we are offering worship. Just by worshiping Prabhupada, we're worshiping all these different deities, all these different personalities. Worshiping all the forms of Krishna. By Guru Puja, all worship is automatically included. So thank you for that nice question. Sorry I couldn't answer it to your full satisfaction, but yeah, go ahead.
Sometimes the devotee says that, yes, Prabhupada didn't introduce all these things, but Prabhupada didn't say that we cannot learn. So we can learn all kinds of rituals.
We can learn all kinds of rituals?
Yeah, because Prabhupada didn't say that we cannot learn.
I'm sorry, I have to beg to inform you. The scriptures say in all rituals in this age are forbidden except for the Sankirtan ritual. That's the actual injunction. The only yajna or ritual which is acquired in this age is the Sankirtan ritual. We don't need to do this ritual, that ritual. You know, turn ISKCON into a ritual shopping mall. We don't need these so many rituals. Prabhupada sometimes accepted the rituals, just like in Vrindavan. He let the Brahmins come and do all their rituals at the Krishna Bharatam installation just for the sake of keeping a good relationship with the local Brijabasi, so they would consider the deities to be bona fide. But Prabhupada said, actually, all we need is to chant Hare Krishna for this installation, and all these rituals are not required. So this Hare Krishna Kirtan, it covers everything. We don't need so many rituals. Not necessary.
They also say that because we were so neophyte, we don't have any, we didn't know anything. So
no, it's not a question of neophyte. Actually, the more you become advanced, if it's a question of, well, the neophyte, I don't know, what is your point?
No, I heard that one devotee said to me about something, so that's what I'm saying.
What did he say?
He said to me that Prabhupada didn't teach us because we were not ready.
Well, now that you're advanced, now you can take all the rituals.
Yeah.
But actually, the more you become advanced, the less you need the rituals. That's another thing. The neophyte, if it's a question of rituals being necessary, which they're really not, but even if they were necessary, they'd be more necessary for the neophytes than for the advanced devotee. Because the whole point is to become fixed in Krishna consciousness. An advanced devotee is fixed in Krishna consciousness by Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu. The only rituals we need are what Prahlad has just given us, this Navavida Bhakti. These nine different items. If we become perfect in these, that's everything. Even one of them we become perfect, that's all we need. So even if there were a question of rituals being necessary, for advanced devotees, the more you advance, the less they would be necessary, even if they were necessary. So it's no question. Well, when we are neophytes, but now that we're advanced, now it's time to add all the rituals. No. That's not a good argument. It doesn't hold philosophical water. Any other question? Yes.
After Hiranyakasipu got his fresh, strong body, he made these prayers to Lord Brahma, and he was saying how he was practically like God himself, like a super soul everywhere. And so he must have known that he himself was not that powerful.
That what?
That he, Hiranyakasipu, must have known. He's praying with great humility to Lord Brahma, and he must have known that he himself was below that level.
Of the level of Brahma?
Yeah.
Okay.
And so at least Brahma's more higher than him. And I don't know what he thought Lord Vishnu, who Lord Vishnu was Lord Vishnu on Brahma's level or higher? I don't know. But at least he was high. He must have known Vishnu was higher than himself. Right? And so...
So what is the question?
The question is, why would he get so angry with his son for worshipping someone superior? I mean, he was so humble.
His brother was killed by Vishnu. Hiranyaksha was killed by Vishnu. That he does not want that his son should become a devotee of his that personality who killed his brother. Among the demoniac class, you see, just like even now we see, you know, like in the drug cartel wars in Mexico right now, you see. If one cartel kills a member of the other cartel, then they have to take revenge. That's part of the being a criminal. The criminals, they have to get their revenge, like the mafia, you see. If there's two mafia gangs and one gang kills another, then they have to get their revenge. That's their way of life. So Hiranyakashipu, he has to get that revenge. His brother was killed by Vishnu, therefore Vishnu must be killed. And that his son would become a devotee of his enemy, Vishnu. It was inconceivably, in the mind of Hiranyakashipu, his son was inconceivably wicked. Inconceivably wicked. Therefore, it meant immediately be destroyed. Is it? You can just imagine the anger of how angry Hiranyakashipu was when he saw that his son was a devotee of Vishnu, advocating worship of Vishnu with elaborate philosophical discussions. Shavanam kirtanam Vishnu smaranam padasevanam. You can imagine what Hiranyakashipu felt at that moment when he heard that these verses numbers, 23 and 24? What he must have felt, the shock and the anger he must have felt. His anger could have, I can imagine the whole universe trembling just from his anger at that moment. Pretty heavy anger. Anything else? Everyone satisfied? Everyone's happy in Krishna consciousness, blissed out, or burned out. Blissed out or burned? Are you Prabhu? Are you burned out or blissed out? If we are Krishna conscious, we must be blissed out 24/7, you see. That is Krishna consciousness. If I'm burned out, that means I'm not Krishna conscious. Yes? Huh? You said something? No? Okay. All right, we'll stop here. Thank you all very much for participating in Srila Prabhupada's International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.